Yes, guys, welcome back to the Once You're In podcast season 3. It is now 2024. I feel like this is the second full episode of 2024.
I think so, yeah.
So I hope everybody's having a good year. I hope you haven't ruined the year already.
Any resolutions ruined, guys?
I had a client who, he might listen to the podcast, Mark. He checked in today, or yesterday for today. And he was like, oh yeah, mate, I had a car accident.
This year is not my
year. No, he was proper soundbite, actually. He was really positive and stuff, but he was like, not what you want at the start of the year. And then, like, on my check-in that sent back to him, I was like, I don't think you want that any time of the year.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's like, oh, yeah, midway through the year,
I crashed my car. So glad that it was in June.
Yeah. I'm so happy it's June and not July.
I was like, I don't think anybody wants to crash their car at any time, mate, but at least you're being positive. But he's sound. Nobody died, so all is good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hope everyone's well. Thank you for joining us. Let's have a catch up, mate. What have we got to talk about this week?
We usually don't really chat too much, but we said any topics, and I said like how to start 2024 off in a good spot. But more so, like, let's say if we think about what we've actually done in the last week. So we've trained. We've kind of got ourselves into a bit of a groove. I was away for a day. Yeah, I was away in like Leeds, like Bradford area. Bradford, like everybody says, when you're in Bradford, Bradford's a shithole, and like it's not. I don't think it's that bad, but like the gym that we trained at, like there was a fair few people that you're like, yeah, they're a bit questionable, you know, like probably maybe not here for the right reasons, you get that anyway. I feel like Sanaa was more so like, oh, it's a bit intimidating, like not the people, but just the area. And I don't know, maybe I'm just naive. And also, because I'm probably a male, I don't really pay attention. Like I could be like really in a really uncomfortable place and I'd just be like, oh, I'm all right.
Yeah, Shannon always says stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like she'll like mention something and I'm like, we don't have to think like that, really. No. But I guess if you're a female, you do have to. Oh, well, you can't say female anymore.
Yeah, if you're of a lesser dominant gender.
If you're a they.
If you're a they or a she or maybe even a he nowadays.
No, if you're a he, you're a big bloke, aren't you?
Big masculine bloke.
If you identify as a man, you're hard and you're a lad.
Okay, fair enough.
You can't identify as a man and be anything but really, really masculine.
Okay, yeah. No, fair enough. So yeah, so pretty much we're there Monday night. We trained at Muscle Bound Gym on Monday. And then Ultra Flex, like the new, I think it's North Leeds. It's the newer one. Like both really cool gym setups.
Which one would you prefer?
Muscle Bound's got better kit. But then Ultra Flex has like some, it's just an Ultra Flex. So it's like, it's clean. Muscle Bound
just
is very.
Just leg press.
Ultra Flex. No, it's one of them. Like Ultra Flex, it's such a chain, isn't it?
So Ultra Flex Derby's opening very soon.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be opening for the back end of the year anyway.
No, I thought it was going to be the start of the new year, but it's not yet, is it? Let me have a look. Yeah.
Sorry, Jacob, we shouldn't be saying this on the podcast. Like, everyone go to Be Modified.
Yeah, Sam, cut all this out.
Yeah, cut this out. And just like, when we say like Ultra Flex, just cut it with Be Modified. Be Modified 2.0 is opening.
Be Modified Derby. Opening end of January.
End of Jan.
Can't wait to move over.
Can't wait to, even though I've paid Jacob 6 months in advance, like, for a membership, can't wait to be like, hey, mate, any chance.
I keep doing day passes, that's why.
Any chance I can just, like.
Yeah, we'll go and see what it's like.
Yeah, definitely. So now it's going on the open day. And she was like, I was like a bit cringy to tell. And I was like, they're not going to care. Jacob's not going to be like, oh my God, you're going to a gym.
How
near
dare
me.
You?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that. So, yeah, back into normal routine now. To be fair, even though I was away.
What did you do then when you were away?
Mate,
we
trained. We went around Leeds. Like, we just walked through the city in the night. I quite like Leeds. So, I like know it quite well. But otherwise, like, it was, we stayed in a nice Airbnb that was like £100. It had a wicked jacuzzi hot tub thing that had like, luckily I didn't spill the water on my laptop there. It had its own, it had a TV literally that had YouTube connected to it. Like, let's say you're in here, it was just like there, which was quite
That's
cool.
Annoying.
What do you mean? No. You could sit wherever.
When I was in Budapest, there was the bath / like jacuzzi thing was set up, and there was like a glass wall. And then the TV was there, so it was like the actual TV of the whole room was like where you could just lay in the bed, proper nice.
No, it was really cool. So so we stayed there. Like, we didn't really. It's one of those we didn't really do too much. We went shopping.
That's
in
nice though.
Manchester.
When you're just keeping our routine.
Yeah, so it was literally same sort of routine. Tuesday we trained a bit earlier, and then we were like 45 minutes because Bradford's like left side of like Leeds, so we're like 45 minutes away from Manchester. So I was like, oh, I don't want to go to the Trafford Centre because it's a wicked shopping place. So we just did a little bit of like just, you know, you just like mooch around really. It was the first time that we've been there.
You not got work to do, no?
Oh mate, I messaged you, didn't I? It was like 3 p.m. and I was like, doing zero check-ins.
I can't do that.
Yeah, you can. You just get a little bit stressed. But I switched off, and I was like, at the end of the day, like, I was like, I'll just get
I can
back
do
back
it
back
if
camp.
It's like for a reason, like. If it's Shannon's birthday or my birthday or something like that, but like I'd find it difficult just like on a random Monday to go somewhere and be like not getting back to work until later in the day. It just stressed me out.
No, I did a bit of work in the morning before we left, but like I only did like two check-ins. Yeah. But then it was like I looked and I was like, I've done fuck all. Like I've done nothing.
It's almost one of those. It's like it's the benefit of working for yourself, but then it's also the downfall because it's like if I'm ever like that, I just think straight away I'm like, I should be doing more. Like, I need to be doing more. I need to be getting back to people. If I've got WhatsApp, like now, doing this obviously on a Thursday morning, like last night I had like I think I had like 3 or 4 applications come through yesterday, and obviously I want to get back to them straight away because it's always good to make like the good impression starting, like when people know that you actually give a shit. But then that meant that like some of the form feedback got a bit delayed, and then like I was doing form feedback on the way here, and like I've still got loads to get back to, and it's like already first thing on a Thursday morning, like as soon as I woke up, I don't even set an alarm anymore because I just wake up early, and I woke up at like 4:15. And I was like, right, I'm not getting up. But in my head, I was like, I could just crack on. Yeah. Like, and then I could have done check-ins by the podcast. And I was like, I need to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Went back to sleep, woke up at like 5:45.
Woke up at 9:55. I was like, Reese, I'm coming to the podcast.
I woke up at 5:45, which is like normal time. I usually wake up, it's weird, like my body's just so used to it now. I pretty much wake up at like 5 to 6, like almost every day. But I woke up at 1:45, probably because I like knew in the back of my mind, I was like, I need to just get up and crack on.
Yeah.
Which I do anyway, but like just because I'm out earlier and then like, the Thursdays that we have, they're not rest days, are they? Like they are.
No,
we don't train,
they haven't been rest days for a long time.
No, like, I think they were a little bit towards the back end of my prep though. So like I got used to having a bit of time, a bit of downtime on a Thursday. Yeah. Whereas now it's like they're busier than my training days.
I have
more check-ins. Yeah. We have the podcast for 2-3 hours. We usually have like haircut, sunbed, physio. Yeah. It's like I was saying to you last week, like these Thursdays go stupidly quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's good. But if you're not on top of it, it does definitely, I definitely get stressed out.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it was like, it's one of those, like, the traffic was a bit bad on the way back, and I was like, it is what it is. Like,
I don't mind that, though, because I can work in the car. No, I like it when the traffic's
bad. The traffic was bad, but I was like, I could just be doing check-ins.
Yeah, so if
I was
check-ins, like, it's so I had, like, it's just WhatsApp.
I had two clients that I was like, right, I've coached them for, like, 2 years. They've sent me through their stuff. They either have been ill, or because I listened to a few check-ins on the way back, I was like, I'll send them on voice notes, that'd be cool. And then I got back and I did, like, 2-3 hours worth of work, and about like 9-ish I was done, so I was like, it's not that bad. Like it's one of those though, like it is when you're out of routine, it's hacking anything. But the problem is, like we've said it before, I wish I could almost just not care. I wish I could just
that's
be like,
I mean,
oh, sound,
I feel like
I've got
a lot of people
randomly
don't,
whereas
like for me, I definitely I don't manage it well. If it's great, like I love being busy, and if anything, like if I wasn't busy, I'd be more stressed because I'd be like, I need to be busier.
Yeah.
But like when I am busy, and if you're not in your normal routine where like you're just on top of it all, it's like, oh shit. Like I love the routine of like, I'll do my check-ins before I go train. I'll train, I'll get back to people on the way there. I'll get back to people on my walk. I'll do social media posts on my walk.
Yeah.
Then I'll get back to WhatsApp on the way home from training. I'll do an Instagram post from the session.
Yeah.
And then I'll get back to training clips and any applications and stuff in the evening.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I really like that routine. But then if you're ever doing anything in an evening, you're behind. Or if you get a few applications come through,
and it's always me. It's always at the worst place, isn't it? Like I've got a guy signing up with me, and he's applied on like late Sunday. And because Monday we travelled, I obviously had like Monday applications. Monday check-ins. I messaged him on like Monday, being like, "Hey mate, like I'll get back to you with a video like ASAP. It'll probably be like tomorrow." And I said to him like, "Mate, I'm so sorry for the delayed reply." And it's literally been like he applied late Sunday, and I sent it through to him Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like a day, like not even like two, not even full, two full days. And in my head, I'm like, "Fuck."
That is why the general like application video is good.
Yeah.
So like I'll send them that as soon as I see it come through. I'll send them the general video, and then I'll be like, send me some photos, like send me any extra information that I need, and then I'll get a personalized video over to you. Mm. So that is what's good, because then sometimes they take a few days and they're like, oh, really sorry, mate, I've been traveling or I've been doing this. Yeah, and it's like, oh, sound, don't worry. Yeah. Like, you know, I know that you've got a life.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think when you get into that kind of rhythm with your work, it's like, oh, I could handle more. Yeah. I'm fine. But then you have days where you're out of it.
And you're like,
I'm so busy. I need to stop.
Yeah, but that's part of the game, I guess. So that's good. Otherwise, all is good. Back at Be Modified for yesterday's legs. They've got a Be Modified 2.0, so a side bit squat press. What do you think of the new gym setup?
It's good.
Yeah. Our mate, you gave us an answer. The last time I asked Finn about what do you think of Be Modified, he was like, don't really want to talk about it.
I don't think I did that.
You did, mate. It was. Do you want to talk about your session? No. Not really.
Sam, try and find that that clip.
You want to talk about your session? Nope.
I don't remember being that bad. I remember you were like, I feel like you like asked me a question. I was like, well, people can just look on my Instagram if they're bothered.
No, like, you initially, you did say that, but you went like, you were like, no. So Reese, how's your week been? I don't want to talk about it.
Towards the end of the prep though, like when we were doing the podcast, like I've said it before, like I almost forgot that I was doing a podcast.
Oh yeah.
It was like I'm just coming to this venue talk for a bit and just get through it. Which is stupid, but like I never even thought. You know what I mean? Like there were so many times throughout the prep where like you just don't think, you just do.
Yeah.
Which is good because like I kept my routine, and like even now, like I just, oh, it's Thursday at this time, I'm here. Like you know what I mean? I just don't think it, I just carry it, like crack on. Otherwise, I think that's what I hated towards the end of the prep. You know, when I started like actually thinking.
Yeah.
It was like I don't like this.
Yeah.
Like because even in my off season, I was so routined and busy that it's just like I'm not thinking. I'm just doing, just cracking on. And then towards the end of the prep, when like you and Shannon and everyone was like, you need to actually fucking take a step back and take your foot off the gas a bit. And it almost got worse because I was like, I'm actually thinking, maybe I do have some emotion and I'm a human. Yeah. It was weird. But anyway, yeah, B Modified 2.0.
Yeah.
So Monday, I trained at Rotherham. We've changed our split to just a pull, push, legs, upper, lower. I think we've played around with our split like on and off, haven't we, for the last like couple months maybe. Not like we've not changed a lot.
No, it's not. It's just
been trying to align our sessions. We've both been away a lot.
Both had a few niggles and stuff, which
like,
is annoying.
And they've been opposite as well. So like your back's always fine.
And your like pushing works fine. My shoulder's fine.
Both of our legs have been all right. Your knee's a bit off at times, but my hip's a bit off. Like it's almost like it's just, if we had the same injuries, it'd be sound. We'd be like, we're not doing this. We'll just do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've just been like working around injuries and trying to align our split. So we've basically gone to pull, push, legs, upper, lower, which is just a very generic twice a week per body part split. It's enjoyable. Recovery's really good. Like, I always find that if you're trying to do any kind of almost more of a complex split, then it's like I feel recovered some weeks into this session, but not as many much on other weeks. Like, whereas you can't really go wrong, pull, push, legs, upper, lower. Like, generally, you're pretty well recovered going into each session, especially if that pull session at the minute for me isn't going to have a hinge just with my back. And then we'll probably look at adding a hinge to either, well, either Monday, Wednesday, or Saturday, wherever like suits most, either legs or pull. But yeah, Monday we're looking at Rotherham just to make the most of the back equipment because that
fantastic equipment that we have here.
The kit we have here. But like in comparison to what we have available near us, like we can have really good leg sessions at B Modified or Premier.
Yeah.
We can have really good push sessions at B Modified or Premier.
Yeah.
We can have good pull sessions. The kit's good, but it's not like good. There's not as much variation and stuff.
Yeah.
There's no prime kit. So yeah, we do pull there, and then push Tuesday, B Modified, legs Wednesday, B Modified, and Friday upper Premier.
Yeah.
And then Saturday will be legs either Premier or B Modified.
Yeah, depending on how things are and what we're doing. So yeah, it's something that we ran this for like a long, long time.
Yeah, it's a
like
good split.
We originally, when we first started training together, we did push pull legs, and within like a week or two we were like, we're fucked. So and that was in lockdown and in Pure Gym.
Yeah,
we did the same.
We said, didn't we, when we had that call before lockdown, we were like, what else are we going to be doing? We want to be training, so we'll just train 6 days in a row. And like 4 days in, we were like, we're not doing this.
Yeah, so we dropped down, we did push pull legs up a lower, and we made like wicked progress. And it's always one of those where like it's a very simplistic split, and like for you say, I think you might have said it last week on the podcast or something, where you're like, you've been programming, and it's like, I have loads of clients that do it.
Yeah, I have loads like, on pull push legs, and they love it. And I always think, like, I wish I was doing that.
Yeah.
Like, fucking do it then.
Yeah, I can. Like, I can. So yeah, it should just be a case of like, for me more so, like just managing like my shoulder, because I haven't really pressed twice a week for the last like probably 6 months. So like I got a decent push session, my first full push session in ages, Tuesday. But like I can tell now, it's like not irritated, but it's like a little bit, but that's expected. Like
the beauty of that is you can, that upper session could
easily,
you don't need
be,
to have any pressing.
Yeah, I like, could just do delt work and then and then pull
maybe a fly. All
So I just need to kind of stay on top of that, probably build myself up. Like tomorrow I'm probably just gonna do like maybe one pressing set, maybe one pressing exercise, depending on how it feels. And then like ideally I'd say, like let's say long term, once we're probably both 100%, like if we were, and we say 100%, we'll probably have loads of other niggles and injuries at that point, but if we were to go to like, let's say have that second, like that Friday session more maybe push dominant, and then we could have like a leg pull session on Saturday, it just gives more flexibility.
We ran that before, like pull push legs and then a like a second push rotation and then a leg pull. Only thing is, for me, I probably don't need two direct push sessions, like in terms of my strengths at the minute, it's like probably not what I need. But also, like, I think you can just overanalyze it. Like, at the end of the day, if I'm enjoying training and everything's progressing, like, I don't really mind whether I do upper lower, whether I do a body part split, whether I do pull push legs. Like, if it's allowing for adequate recovery,
if you're doing everything twice per week, and, like,
even if you're not, like, just as long as, like, for example, if we were to do a body part split, we'd just it'd just be the volume that we spread across upper would be all in the back day, and all the push volume from the upper would be in the push day.
I don't think there's anything magic about a split. I think it's more so what do you enjoy, and then where can you keep the quality the highest. And, like, I think, like, for a lot of people, like, I see so many people, how many of you had that apply with you, and they're like, this is my split, and it's over a 10-day cycle or something, and it's like, do you actually, like, firstly, do you enjoy this?
Like, a lot of people have, like, a two-on-one-off, one-on-one-off, so it's, like, 8 days, which is fine, but, like, I've always been a fan of knowing exactly when your rest days are. Like, if I was to say to you, like, in a month on a Sunday, like, what are you doing? You'd be like, oh, it's a rest day. Whereas, like, if we were to do that for 8 day split, you'd have to work.
And also,
like, especially when you've got shows on Sundays.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's like, I'd just much rather have that structure, knowing when my rest days are. Sundays work nicely as a rest day for shows, for time with Shannon. Like, for most people, Sunday's a family day. It's the Lord's Day.
The Lord's Day, the good day, day of rest.
It is. So you can't be training.
You can't be training on the Lord's Day.
No chance.
No. But yeah, I think it's one of those where it's like, it's very much like what suits you. But then also, like, I find I had this conversation with Josh this morning. He's running a push-pull legs with, like, a rest either side of the leg day. So it's like three sessions over 5 days. And the amount of times he's said in his off-season so far, like, oh, you know, I've got work, so I might just have the weekend off. And then I'm training Monday. And I said to him, like, mate, I don't mind, like, but you're not at peak strength. You're not, like, to a point where, like, realistically, are you doing 25,000 steps at work? No. You're just stood up talking to people and probably, like, throwing a few boxes around and, like, moving a few supplements around. If you were doing 25,000 steps, we're waking up at 4 a.m., okay, I can understand going, I'm going to move the session back. But, like, just because you're training at 4 or 5 p.m. and you're mentally a little bit more taxed, like, it's a training day, bro. Still train, you know?
I think, like, if you work for yourself completely, let's say, and you have the ability to move everything around your training, then you could easily do that split. But even so, like, we do that, we have the ability to do that, and I still wouldn't like not knowing. Like, I think it works nicely from a recovery perspective, like having a rest day either side of legs, or either side of maybe a weaker body part day, maybe like a, again, like, you could have like a legs push, rest pull, rest something like that, or vice versa with, like, legs having rest either side. But yeah, I like the structure of a 7 day cycle, knowing when the rest days are. Anywhere between like 4 or 5 sessions, dependent on what phase you're in, like, recovery wise. But yeah, I think it's easy to overcomplicate it. A lot of people do overcomplicate it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's training summed up though nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what we were saying yesterday, weren't we? Like, you can almost, like, just look around the gym, and people who, just generally the people who train pretty well and pretty hard, like, it stands out
you
for
can
a
tell.
Mile off.
They almost have, it's almost like an aura where you could just, like, you walk into a place and, like, I feel like within, obviously some people might be resting in between sets, but you can just usually look and think, like, they probably train quite hard, you know, or they don't fucking train hard, you know. And it's also, like, just your demeanor in the gym. Like, I think a lot of times, like, we've said to clients before, like, how many times they'll send us form feedback clips, and their set can be really intense. But if you're before a set, like, fucking, I remember Cam fucking Zed Fitness, shout out Cam, before a hack squat, like, brushing his hair back, like literally just, like, doing this, and I'm like, you're about to go in on a hack squat. Why the fuck are you touching your hair and moving your hair around? Like, that might be me, like, always being maybe a bit, like, a bit anal about
stuff. I think
stuff,
it depends. Like, so, to be fair, this is a good topic. So, Josh put a post on yesterday about, like, your mindset while you're training. It's like one chance kind of thing. And then I saw Ed. You know Ed, Millie's boyfriend. That's all you are, mate. You're just Millie's boyfriend. So Ed put a
punching as well.
He put a story on. And he was like, you don't have to be, like, the most aggressive in the gym and stuff. And, like,
yeah, Ed said that.
And I completely agree with him. He was basically saying, like, it doesn't make you a better bodybuilder just because you can get more, like, you get more aggressive before a set, or you shout, or you get more emotional. And I was like, at the end of the day, it depends on the person and what works for you. Like, if you can perform in the set, I couldn't give a fuck what you're doing before or after. Or, you know, in the gym, like, if you can switch it on and get the most out of a set. But I think what the issue is that most people don't realize the importance of actually getting prepared for a set.
So, and also, like, actually like, a lot of people will have, like, that, oh, I take it all the way there, but they're actually, they're not, because their take it all the way there is someone else's 60%.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's definitely, it definitely does have an impact, like where your mindset is at going into a set. Like, again, for some people, you can go into it more relaxed and get more out of it.
Yeah.
For others, you have to get really switched on. Again, like we've said before, it depends on the exercise and everything. But I think a lot of people will see, and again, I've said this to Josh recently, like, Josh thinks every single set, you know, it has to be getting a new song on, getting emotional. Yeah. Like, we've done that before.
Yeah.
But you learn to sort of pick your battles, like choose when you actually need to utilize that for bigger compound movements and when you don't. And again, like, Josh is getting better with that. But I think a lot of people maybe see people like AJ post and they'll go, oh, you know, he gets like that for every single set. Yeah. And, you know, it's life or death every set. It's not like it's not life or death. You're not gonna die. Like if you don't get a progression,
If you don't die, fucking go again.
Yeah,
go again,
the thing is, like, it's good to have that mindset, like, because it does mean that you can get a lot more out of your training.
I think at the start you should be like that in a way. Like, I think, like, I wouldn't be like, for example, with Josh, I wouldn't be saying to him, stop doing this. I'd just be like, no, cool, man. Like, just learn.
Like,
to
it's channeling it for the right kind of exercises. But like Ed was saying, like, Ed's strong. His training's really, really good.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm not the type of person to get like aggressive before a set. Good, you don't need to. If that, if you know that that doesn't make you perform any better.
Yeah.
I think people think they do have to, like, just because these people do it and post about it, that's what I've got to do. And it's like, we've done both and do both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for a lot of exercises, we go into it where we're a lot more relaxed. Like, we won't go, like, what you're having for tea tonight, and then go into a press. But like, we won't go into a, I might not even put music on for a chest press, because like, I know that I don't need to get really aggressive for it and really switched on for it. But the squat press yesterday, like, those sets wouldn't have been as good if I didn't get a bit more mentally aroused going into the set. Like, if I'd have just got sat down and gone, right, see how we get on, I'm not going to perform very well.
Yeah.
Like, but again, then for some people, that, let's say, they're not going to sit down and go, let's see how I get on, but they might sit down and for them, just taking 2-3 deep breaths before a set and focusing without any music on, listening to their breathing, listening to their bracing, that can be a better environment for them.
Yeah.
For other people, it might be music just fucking screaming in their ears and attacking the set. Like, but yeah, it's a good topic.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting for like what works for different people.
Yeah. Most important thing is just training hard. But again,
yeah, I do think most people need to at least experience that and go, oh shit, actually, that did help.
No, I think like a lot of people need to train with people who are way stronger than them, way more advanced, and like almost like just batter them through a session, or like just carry them through a session of like, right, we're doing this, we're going on there. Like, and it's one of those where it's like, I think it will open up your eyes to like different ways to train and what you can actually get out of a session.
Yeah.
Because there's many ways to skin a cat, as we say. I remember, I spoke about this on the podcast, when I trained in that Spanish gym with that guy who owned the gym, that was a completely different session. Like, if I was to look at my actual load lifted, it was horrendous in comparison, because we did 5 sets of every exercise, 10 to 15 reps, like scaling down and up the rack of like a shoulder press, and then into like, let's say, a fly, then into a bent row. And it was like, by the end of the session, it had been 90 minutes and I was fried, and I woke up the following day and I was really sore. But that's because obviously I'm not used to that. But if I always train like that, because he would probably, like, granted, he was a fair bit like chubbier than me, obviously he was like into his off season, like I was stronger than him, but it was very much a case where, like, objectively, he probably like schooled me slightly, because it was like, I'm not used to that sort of training. Yeah. But I was like, I'm training in your gym, I'll jump in with you. But if it was a case where, let's say, for example, someone's always exposed just training in a pretty alright gym on their own, and they go and train with somebody who's like really like pretty fucking strong and has that confidence, like we've said before, when we like come around to like a warm-up set, the amount of times that we'll see like clients that will, even that we say to them, don't do this, they'll do 10 reps on a warm-up that's really close.
Yeah.
Or they'll be on a machine chest press where their top set's 4 to 5 plates and they're doing 1 plate, 1.5 plates, 2 plates,
do like
2 plates.
Warm-ups.
Yeah, and it's like
wasting time,
and it's
wasting
like
energy.
You're doing like 50 reps before.
I
like,
think that as well, like, they're the same scenarios where clients will go like, oh, I'm just, you know, these sessions are a bit long, I'm struggling to fit everything in, I had to miss XYZ at the end. But then they're taking half an hour chatting with people in between sets, or they're again doing like 5 warm-up sets on their 4th exercise. Like, you're already warm by now. Like, you should be, like, you don't need to be doing 5 warm-up sets. But again, these are things that people almost don't really think about or don't really realize until, like you say, you know, like, we'll train and a client will be there, might not even be training with them, and like, I'll look and I'll go like, like you say, that's your last warm up. Like, that's way too close to your working set, or it's way too far away from your working set. Like, but yeah, they're all like small things that you learn, and it takes time and experience to sort of pick those up and fine tune it to like what is going to be best for you.
Definitely.
There was on my stories this morning, you know, when you look back at however many years ago, like 5 years ago, training with Tim in Nottingham at Legends.
Well, okay.
And yeah. Tim was doing a behind the neck Smith press, shoulder press. And I was like, yeah, good mate, yeah, come on.
Really good mate.
But like, I felt I didn't write anything on my story. I just put the stories on and I like put like what I'd said like in the background as I was talking. But like, I was going to put like, I've been at this a long time and I've made loads of mistakes, like, so that now my clients don't have to, like, which is true. Like, there's things that I've done in the past that you'll have done in the past, both in terms of training in the gym, out the gym, food, etc. Yeah. Like, things that we've done, like, you know, even like, if you think when you were what, 16, like pushing food like really high, like that was good learning experience, and you'd probably recommend it to a lot of your younger clients, but you wouldn't recommend it to people in a just a gradual gaining phase at this point. You won't be like, oh mate, you know, let's push up to 6,000 calories and mate, have was, two dominoes
no,
a week.
No, it was two dominoes a week. It was post workout on Wednesday, legs. I go to an all you can eat buffet afterwards. Yeah. Literally, like me, Deck, and then a few of the other lads that would go to Warehouse like one time per week. We'd go into Red Hot in Leicester. I think it's shut down now. It's like a Vietnamese like Pho or whatever. You seen Pho? Pho? Like the Vietnamese food place in Leicester. It's called like Pho. It's a it's like a chain. It's shy. I had one like 2 years ago, never again. But yeah, we used to go in there, and then we used to a few times sneak out without paying, and we got caught. I think I've said this to you before. I never said this. Ah, story. I used to steal food, guys. No, it was like a bit of a joke. Yeah, so we used to go, and I said a bit of a joke. It wasn't. It was technically a criminal act. We're thieves. So Red Hot, please don't sue me. Yeah, basically you pay by the table, and the way out, there was no like desk or whatever, and you end up like where we used to sit, we used to sit quite close to the door, and like because of where it is, all the payment like tills were forward. So we did it once accidentally. One of us just like got up and was like, oh, sound, let's go. And then we all got out and we're like, we didn't pay. And then we did it like three more times, and then eventually the woman clocked on. And luckily, I was the youngest there, and I was just an easy influence. I just followed along. So I was never, instigated. Yeah. I was just like, I'm the youngest here. I thought to myself, I'll be all right. And my meal was only like 15 quid. I got 15 quid. And yeah, she came out and she was like, excuse me, have you boys paid? And like, one of them ran. And I was just like, I haven't paid, I'll pay. And
sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, sorry, I totally forgot. And then we never went again. But yeah, we did that a few times, so yeah, that was
so that's really why you're not going. You just, it wasn't shit, it was the best food ever. Best food ever.
Yeah, to be
scared
fair,
they're gonna recognize you now.
Yeah, definitely. And then I remember I went for Jordan Tebb, the lad that was like, a fair bit older than me. He was going away to uni or whatever, and like they went for his like, I got invited to like his birthday meal there, and I honestly was like shitting myself. I'm like, I'm not gonna be allowed in. They're gonna have my Facebook pictures on the side and stuff like that. I like, do not let this boy
this guy's
in.
Barred.
Yeah, literally. But like, it was one of those. It was like, I think you get up to shit like that when you're a bit of a kid, and you just follow people. You never committed any crimes.
I remember I stole a grape once in Tesco.
Really?
I was walking around with my sister, and my mum was obviously there with the trolley. And I remember being like, I'm gonna fucking have one of those grapes. And then I felt like, I was like, I can't believe I've just done that. Like, I've been really, really bad.
I remember I didn't. This is again another story. I was probably 10 years old. Maybe stole like 10 packs of Match Tax without realizing. So
No,
honestly. So Ilias, my best mate at the time, he pretty much like put like in my hood of my like I had a hoodie in my hood 10 packs of Match Attacks. Yeah, and I just walked out and he was like, he like tapped me and he was like, check your hood, and I was like, what the fuck? He was like, let's open them. And I was like, you know what? I would have been like, I would have been in trouble if I got caught. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, but you didn't get caught, man.
Sound.
Yeah, you're cool. And I was always the youngest. Ilias was like a couple years, like 2 years older than me. Like the people that I was just a young kid that just used to follow around the older boys, and then clearly I'd just be like, yeah, I'll steal.
I don't think I have stolen anything other than that grape. God, I was wild back in the day.
Surely you've stolen something without realizing, or like you pick something up and
We stole stuff in Vegas.
What did we steal in Vegas?
We stole one sweet from store, because it was like a pick and mix store, so you had to had to buy loads. I just want to try one.
And speaking of that, me and Sam almost got in trouble for stealing the M&Ms out of the, you know, the custom M&M tubes.
Oh, did you steal that?
Oh no, we didn't steal them. We were sampling them. Yeah, we were having like, so there were like loads of M&Ms. If anyone's ever been to like an M&M world, you could like pull a little chain thing and it like lets them out like a little dispenser. So like before. I'm getting a whole bag. I might as well try one.
You didn't though, did you?
Hmm? I bought the bag. It was for Sanaya. And the funny thing is, I went to, when I was in New York, there was an M&M World. So they must love it in America. And they were marshalling it like, I literally went to touch just the, like, they're like, do not touch that if you've not got a bag. I was like, well, I'm not touching it. And I was like, so I'm not touching it. They were proper, like, they had someone in the middle, on the right and on the left, like, looking down. It was ridiculous. And I was like, in Vegas, and me and Sam were just like, try that.
Yeah, did anybody say anything in Vegas?
No, they weren't really. I think a few people looked at us, but we had bags. By that time, I didn't have a bag. But there was like, they were marshalling it, like, you are not wasting any.
Yeah.
Like, not, they weren't even allowed to drop into like the little, like, almost like urinal area, you know, where it's just like with the hole at the bottom.
I bet they would lose so much money. I know you would think, people stealing the odd one. Yeah. Like, if you think about it, if like the amount of footfall in those stores, even if just a few people every hour are like, oh, I'll just try 5 or 10, like that every day.
Yeah.
Like, they do their inventory at the end of the year. Like, what the fuck? Where's like thousands and thousands of pounds?
We've gone through like £20,000 of product and we've only made like X amount. You're like, what the fuck's this about?
You think though, like companies like that, that big, you think they're not going to give a fuck, but they would, otherwise they wouldn't. True. That's how you get to that point. Yeah. Like, if you were just giving stuff away for free, like, you'd never get to be a massive company. Like,
well, mate, we need to change that cookie place in Vegas that gave us free cookies.
Oh, that was good.
That was good, yeah. Very good.
It's all right if it's an open day.
If it's an open day, yeah. If
I've got my client meetup. I'm going to give away some freebies.
What freebies are you giving?
I don't know.
You're not.
I was saying to Noah, I said to Noah, have a think about what you'd want at a team meetup. Like, yeah,
a goodie bag.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I was thinking I'll take some repair.
Yeah.
Conte Finten.
Respect 10.
I'll take some repair for people to just try. I'll take probably a few Conte sups that people can like sample.
Yeah.
And then I've got like loads of old samples, you know, like that you just used to get if like you'd get something from, you'd buy something from Insight and they'd send you like 2 or 3 samples or whatever. Sam, make sure you cut out Insight.
Yeah, Insight, like, who are they? Insight, Conte.
Just keep bleeping these out, yeah?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got like some old samples and stuff. But I was thinking, like, what would, if I was going to like a team meetup as a client, what would I want? So I said to Noah to have a think.
Mm.
I mean, it's only like 2 weeks away, so I need to get stuff sorted if I'm going to do anything.
Yeah, I thought, because I had a few people like, oh, I might do custom t-shirts, but then it's like getting the sizes, bringing them, it's like,
and like just getting it in time.
Yeah, I said that. I was like, I'm probably not going to, I'd have to like plan ahead like 4, 5, 6 months.
And like you said as well, like people on the day or a few days prior end up dropping out because of whatever reason.
And then you've got like, my t-shirt, you know, stuff then, like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and speaking about t-shirts, we spoke about this last year. We've never actually spoke about this on the podcast, I don't think. For our loyal fan base who has heard us say for about a year now, once you're in your merch, coming soon. We actually did have something sorted, and basically, like, we can be flat out, we're not going to use them. They were fucking useless.
Well,
they were
the guy...
The guy,
bless the guy. Yeah. He was odd, wasn't he?
He was so
can't
odd.
Remember his name. What was his name? Rob? I don't know. It wasn't Rob. There was a guy.
He worked for everybody.
What was it even called? Got merch.
Got merch. And the guy that ran it, like, or was the like the figurehead.
He knew everyone.
He knew everybody. He was just literally your standard. I've worked with this person. I've worked with that person. I was like a fucking week out from my first show when we spoke to him. Oh, mate, I was dying. I literally remember thinking to myself, I just want to fucking train.
Yeah,
and he was just chatting and chatting and chatting and chatting. Didn't get anywhere. We thought like, well, we had a call with him. We thought, oh, we'll be sound. He then was like, yeah, you'll be on a waiting list. We'll get
you'll be sorted. On the website soon and you'll have it all. Like, basically, it was like, it would have been where they create it all. They have like us on their site and everything. We just have a link, and then we don't have to like pay to make it. They just get a percentage.
Yeah,
it's like it was like, oh, that's cool. Like, we need to get it sorted because didn't you say there's another company?
Yeah, Sanaya's got apparently like a link sorted. And I reckon we could definitely look around. So we need to. That's something that we probably do to actually crack on with. But
even for our own, like, because we were going to do it for our team clothing as well, because it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, once we got one space. But yeah, so basically the guy was a bit of a fraud. the company. He ended up leaving.
We messaged him like,
hey mate, or hey Ron, or whatever your name is. Any update on where we are in the waiting list? He's like, yep, still on the waiting list, buddy. Won't be long.
I feel like a week later, we got a message from a woman.
Yeah.
A woman messaged me. She was like, oh yeah, he's left. So like, I just want to get all the information from you again. And I was like, can you not just go through the old emails?
Yeah.
It's like, surely you've got them. Anyway, I just like forwarded the emails and then we just never heard back.
And then
I literally never heard anything from them.
They stopped doing it. So yeah, that's that guy. So we actually did try.
It's not been us being slack.
Yeah, we actually we literally met the guy. We had a call. We got everything sorted. We sent everything over and basically they just went, like, oh, we just don't fancy it. Nah. So basically, we just waste our time. So yeah, we do need to actually get something sorted.
They wouldn't be able to handle with the sheer amount of the orders that would have come in.
The oi-oi, like, followers. Yeah. They wouldn't be able to deal with our army.
We do need to sort it.
Yeah. Speaking of army, guys, please get us to, like, what is it? Is it 500 subs? Yeah, 500. Get us to 500.
Speaking
subs.
Of army.
Good. Yeah, speaking of army, nice, if you want to join, if you want to join the army, click subscribe. That'd be good. Anyway, less about that. We said we'd speak about preps, didn't we?
Yeah, so I think, like, we should chat about the earlier shows of the season and like where people are at who maybe don't have a coach or don't really know what they should be doing at this time of year, because like there'll be a lot of people who are going to be first timers going into the MBW first timer show, maybe a PCA early first timer show, maybe you're looking at doing PCA naturals. Obviously there is loads of PCA shows. You got the WMBF show in June, so like we thought we'd just chat about getting yourself in a good spot really for those shows. Firstly, you should already be
yeah, like, I think that's like the most important thing is like the amount of times I had somebody message me the other day and he was like, it was about first timer show and he was like, really like to prep me for it, and I was like, mate, you're literally like 4 months out, like 5 months out, like I can, but like,
but
please,
it's not good.
Yeah, like
thing is as well, like over the Christmas period, like the amount of clients that I have like planned, I'd been on prep calls like the end of, like, even I think it was before Christmas, like it was like right, it was end of November, start of December, like I was having prep calls with people, this is the plan, this is what we're looking to do, this is what I want you to make sure you manage over the Christmas period, and then people go and gain a decent amount of weight over Christmas, and this is a few people, it's not just one or two, it's like most people that there's a good few, don't get me wrong, who manage Christmas really well, but a lot of people it's like, well, I'm prepping soon, so I'll make the most of these last couple of weeks. It's like, yeah, but that mindset is already putting you
in a
months
worse,
back before you even start. Like, people don't realise the importance of that starting position. Like,
and I'd also argue, like, because of the year, like, you know, let's say if it wasn't January, let's say, for example, so that, what, MBW show, and the that's in May and then June. So, what, 5-6 months out. If this was, if you were prepping for a September show and it was, like, March, April, you would literally be like, oh, I'm starting prep soon.
Yeah.
But because it's like, oh, it's 2023.
It's before,
you feel like you're so, like, so much longer away, when in reality, you're really not. Like, I went through, obviously, last year, I started my pullback, like, pretty much, like, back end of December, and I started my prep officially when I got back from Canada, and I'd already pulled off 6 to 7 kilos of, like, just water weight and just, obviously, like, shit weight when you start a diet. And I, like, remember going away to Toronto, and I was like, my steps were high, so I was like, cool, I don't need to eat loads. I'm going to come back in a really good spot. And then I ended up only having to actually diet off 10 kilos. But the problem is, I could have easily viewed that and think, well, I'm going away for Christmas. I'm then going away on holidays. So I'm just going to enjoy myself, because once I get back, prep begins.
I've got to put the work
in. And it's like, I still had flexibility. I still had, like, I had a pizza one of the nights. I had, like, good food.
Yeah, it's not as if you've started the prep. Like, it's just that you're not going in with that fuck it mentality.
Yeah, like, I'm starting prep soon so I can eat what I want.
Because that's when people will just gain a stupid amount of weight and you just put yourself in a really bad spot.
Yeah.
Not even just physiologically, but psychologically.
Yeah.
You then go, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that. Now I don't like how I look. Yeah. Now I best dig harder. And it's like, it's the first week of prep and you're already like, I need to dig harder. It's like, it's not good. But basically, if you were doing the MBW show, you are currently 19 weeks out. You have 136 days. So make them all count, guys.
Yeah.
PCA Naturals, 149 days, another 2 weeks later, and then another week after that, WMBF, 157 days, 22 weeks. If you're not thinking about, like, if you're thinking about doing, like, any of those shows, or any shows around May, June, July time, and if you're not thinking about starting prep, like, within the next few weeks, then you need to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
Whether that be that you're natural or assisted. The only time I'd say that you would be all right, like, and maybe start March time, is if you're already very, very lean and assisted, and you may be doing, like, men's physique, and you're going to do, like, a 12-week prep.
Yeah.
But for most people, especially first-timers, because most of these shows are first-timers or novice shows, you can't plan for everything. Give yourself a bit more time. You know, there's no harm in starting a couple of weeks. What I've actually done with clients as well is I've said, right, this is the latest we're going to start.
Yeah.
So it's like, if everything goes to plan, we'll start here.
Yeah.
But if you gain a bit too quickly, or if some, like, you get injured or you get ill or whatever, we'll probably just start a bit early.
Oh, I don't think I've said to a client this year, like, this is your bang on start date. It's like, this is when I'd like you to start.
Yeah.
This is when, if you're perfect, you will be starting. And this is probably where you will be starting.
Like, this is where we're going to look at starting.
Yeah.
But that's the latest.
Yeah.
Like, that's if, you know, everything goes to plan.
Yeah.
But I probably will start you a little bit earlier. Because the thing is as well, like, what I quite like to do is tell people, right, we're going to probably start about here. And then in that week or two before, actually start.
Yeah.
So that then they've not got that chance
yeah.
to go,
Oh,
well, I've booked this and I've booked that and I've planned to do this. Yeah. And it's like, so the last week before prep, you're literally just going to be in loads. Like, that's not good. Like, you're going to put yourself in a poor spot. Like,
and also, if you've done an off-season correctly and you're actually holding weight well, you shouldn't be in a position where you'd be like, I'm going to eat everything. No, like, not only from a mindset, but like, yeah, like, I think I've seen most people like that do really well are the ones that are like, I want to start now. Like, they'll say to you 2-3 check-ins before, mate, any chance we can start sooner? Like, feeling good, like, feel like I could start. And you like, sometimes it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, let's get things cracking. Like, I know with a few of my clients, I almost run like a bit of an escalation period where it's like, right, we'll drop food down a touch, not like prep wise,
almost just to actually establish a deficit.
And then it's like, right, cool. Then we'll work cardio up, we'll get routine. And then after like 10 to 14 days of that, they're probably going to be really responsive. And then it's like, right, you actually make a bigger drop and you see big changes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you were to look upon it, like, especially for this year, like, it's what, we're 12 days in? What's the date today? 11 days. We're 11 days into January. Like, already that's almost 2 weeks that a lot of people will be like, well, they've not even really been back in sync because of holidays, stuff like
I
that.
I think a lot of people as well, because last week, I've been saying this to loads of clients, like, this week's been like the first proper week because last week the first was Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, most people on that Monday either didn't train or had a family day or moved their training around. So like, even last week it was a bit like, oh, I felt a bit out of sync. This week, the second week of the year, it's like people actually feel like, oh, I'm kind of back into routine now.
Yeah.
I say, like, I've not made changes for most clients.
No, I haven't.
Probably for like a month.
Yeah.
Like the week or two before Christmas and the week or two after. For most people, it doesn't make sense to make any changes because they're probably going to gain a bit of weight over Christmas, or if they're in peak off season, they'll probably lose a bit.
Yeah.
And then it's just a case of regaining routine.
Yeah.
Like, so the last like month, it's almost just been like, try and hold. Like, still, you know, make the most of where you're at, enjoy your training, etc. But I'm not the week of Christmas, I'm not gonna be like, here's 50 carbs. Like, you're gonna have Christmas dinner, you're gonna be eating different food. So it's like you're actually regaining that routine now. But yeah, if you're not already starting a prep, definitely look at doing soon. I wouldn't be starting any later than end of this month, end of Jan. Even if you're starting in a pretty good spot. Like, I've got people starting towards the back end of Jan who are in a good spot. But yeah, like, there's nothing, especially if you've done like a pre-prep diet and then you're working your food back up, you're feeling really good. If anything, the look improves throughout the next push-up phase because you don't gain a lot of weight, but you improve performance, you increase fullness, drop off a lot of stress, drop off a lot of fatigue, fluid shifts a little bit. Like, you should be looking really, really good, ready to start with plenty of time. And then if anything does crop up, which it will throughout the prep, you know, bumps in the road that will occur, you've almost accounted for them because you've started in a good spot. You've not got 20, 30 kilos to pull off. You've got maybe 10 to 15 and you've not given yourself 10 weeks to do it. You've given yourself 20.
Yeah.
You're going to be in a really good position. So yeah, like that sort of, especially for people who maybe don't have a coach, or maybe you do have a coach and they're like, oh mate, we'll start in March. And you're thinking,
suck your coach.
Shit. I'm like way above what my actual stage weight is going to be. Yeah. You just got to be realistic as well. Like, I think, I'll always ask my clients, like, what do you think your stage weight will be?
Yeah.
And then they'll tell me, like, I was doing that on the calls that I was having. I was going, what do you think? And they'll be like, for some of them who have competed before, like, they were pretty accurate. And I was like, okay, yeah, I think you probably will be about that.
Yeah.
For some of them, they're way off one way or the other.
Yeah.
They'll go like, oh, I think I need to pull off 70 pounds. It's like, you really don't.
Yeah.
Like, you're just saying that because you know you've probably got more to pull off than most people think. But don't add 30 pounds to it.
Yeah.
Add 5 or 10. So, like, what do you actually think you've probably got to pull off? Maybe add another 5 or 10 for most people. For some people, they'll like massively undershoot it. But again, you can't, especially if you've never competed before, you can't really gauge. And even if you have, like, first time I competed, I was 170 pounds. I think the lightest I got to was like 166. This time I got down to 156.
Yeah.
Competed at like high 150s, low 160s.
Yeah.
And that's with like 2 years worth of training in between.
Yeah.
So it's like,
but you lost muscle for like 4 months.
Yeah, I lost all your muscle.
Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't really count, does it?
I probably should have been about 180.
Yeah, you would have been if you had handled the prep well. If you'd listened to this podcast last year, fucking hell, mate, you'd be like 180, 185, maybe.
I'd be British champ.
Oh yeah, but you would have been one that actually had to qualify for. Not you just turned up.
I would have been British champ in all of them. I'd have won everything.
I wouldn't have been beaten. I would have won every single show. That's good. Fair enough.
I should have just stopped after physique.
Yeah.
All right. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah, Sal, can do. That's that. We didn't do an outro on one of them. And I got a message from, you know, Tyler Ragg probably shouldn't mention his name because he's going to be like, yes, Reese mentioned my name. Being like, literally, no outro, bro. What the fuck? And I'm like, Tyler, I don't care. Like, we don't care. Like, not being horrible, mate. Like, I'm not doing... we didn't do an outro because Sam would have cut it.
Yeah.
It would have made more sense. We don't say, like... We sometimes say, okay, cool, end that section. We did a load of outros, but then also, mate, if it's not an outro, like, not being horrible, Tyler, don't message me, bro. Yeah,
it's like, not really end of one,
yeah, it's not really...
Also, like, Sam, what are we paying you for? Yeah. You can't even just add a random outro. Add an outro from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
From when we did it on Zoom. Yeah. Just chuck a random outro in.
And also, Sam, thanks for the reels. Clearly, you're saying, you want to make the reels, Sam?
You fancy making some more, mate?
Yeah, you fancy making us some more, Sam? We're going to have to keep him on the toes. Like, we just give him, we're too nice to him. He just goes a bit slack.
Yeah.
So we need to be like, Sam, you're gonna make us some reels? You're going to get our YouTube videos done when we're doing the JP?
To be fair, he's been pretty on it so far this year.
Yeah.
Start as you mean to go on, aren't you, Sam? That's what you're saying to me.
Don't drop off, mate.
Yeah.
But don't drop off.
Keep it up.
Right. Yeah. Good work.
Good work so far, mate.
Keep it up, Sam. Thanks, guys. Hope everyone's enjoyed. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.